Now we've got to the end of the Easter season for this year. The day we started on Maundy Thursday and have come all the way through over 7 weeks, 50 days, until we come to the day of Pentecost, or as it used to be called, Whit Sunday. And the day of Pentecost, as it first happened there in Jerusalem, as we read to us about, the day of Pentecost, when it first came, really was the birthday of the church. So that it's not really an ending at all, it's a beginning. And it's a beginning in a sense of something even greater than what had gone before. But it's not a completely new pattern. In fact, the day of Pentecost is really following the same pattern that God has used all the way through his dealings with mankind. Because what happened on the day of Pentecost is that God did something. God did something very obvious with this mighty rushing wind, with these tongues of fire coming down on the people, and by the people's ability to speak in all these different languages, so that the people in Jerusalem, who'd come from every part of the known world, could actually understand them. It's almost an undoing of the Tower of Babel. So the day of Pentecost was God actually acting. But then as you read on there, you realize that what actually happens is that Peter stands up and gives this wonderful sermon, of which we just heard the beginning of that. But Peter starts his sermon by actually helping the people understand what God is doing. And he does it by going back to the Old Testament. He goes back to find out what has already been written about this. And he puts the two together. In the Authorized Version, there's that lovely phrase, "This is that." This is that that was prophesied by the prophet Joel all those centuries before. God speaks and acts, and he expects us to respond. That's the pattern that you'll find all the way through the Bible with all the people that we think of as the good guys, all the great heroes of faith. Every single one of them received a revelation from God in some way or other, and they responded in obedience and faith. And that's what's happening on the day of Pentecost. If you go through the Bible and you look at all these good guys, all the great heroes of faith, let me just read a list out of some of them. Abraham, Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Deborah, Gideon, Hannah, Samuel, Saul, Nathan, David, Solomon, Elijah, Elisha, and all the rest of the prophets. And then into the New Testament, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, Anna, Nathaniel, Andrew, Peter, the centurion that Jesus met, Mary and Martha of Bethany, Cleopas, Nicodemus, Stephen, Ananias, Paul, Philip, and the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, the thing that each of those has in common is that God somehow revealed something to them. God spoke to them, or God acted in their lives, and they were willing to respond in faith. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. But the difference is, and it's a really big difference, is that it happened to all the people in the church. You'll see the pattern through the rest of the Bible is that God speaks or acts in the lives of individuals, and then sees basically how they respond. On the day of Pentecost, as it was prophesied by the prophet Joel, God's Holy Spirit was poured out on all the people, was poured out in all flesh, as it says in the Authorized Version. And that's the difference. It's a corporate thing that happened on the day of Pentecost. God did something. Peter went to the scriptures to understand it, and he helped the people, and they responded. And we know if we go on to the end of the Chapter 2, we find that 3,000 people responded in faith and were baptized that day. That's the pattern that God established for his church. He wants us to look out for when he speaks, when he does stuff in our lives. And he needs us to go to the scriptures to find out what to do about it. Now, a few weeks ago, I'd just like to go back to that amazing time when we were joined by the people from the Baptist Church, and Gavin Walter, the minister, came and spoke here. And you remember later on in the service, someone came up to me, I've forgotten who it was actually, but said the children had done some wonderful work. And so they brought up that lovely cloud, you can see it over there, with the paper plates hanging off it. And the extraordinary thing, it was on exactly the same subject that Gavin had preached on. And I have checked carefully, there was no collusion. This is not like Donald Trump and the Russians. They did not get together. God was speaking. God was prophesying, if you like, through both of these people. And I think in a sense it's very clear what he was saying to us. The fact that Janet's a member of our church and Gavin's the minister at the Baptist church shows us that he's in this business of us coming together. That this idea of having these fifth Sunday services is not just our idea. It's not just a good idea. Not just something that would be useful to do. It's actually on God's heart. And I think he was saying to us by this impossible coincidence, if you like, that he's in that, that it's on his heart as well. So we talked about it a bit on the PCC on Wednesday. I believe it's something we need to push forward into, this idea of unity. And if you go to the scriptures, you can find clearly that's on God's heart. On the inside of Grapevine, you'll see that I've printed out a bit from John's Gospel, John chapter 17. It's that third reading on the right-hand side of the inside. And there Jesus is praying to the Father, and he's talking about unity. It's obviously on his heart. Let me just read those words. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these," that's the disciples, "but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word," that's us, "that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Wonderful, powerful words, but very clear that God is interested in our unity. He doesn't see the denominations. I don't think they exist for him. He doesn't see our differences, and he loves it when we come together to worship him. So that's, I think, like a little bit of Pentecost that we experienced here. And it's my job, and it's Gavin's job, with our theological training, to be able to go to the scriptures and find the places to make that application, to say this is that. In many ways, I believe that's the purpose of all the years that I've spent, and Gavin spent, and other ministers have spent, in studying the Bible. It's so that when something like this happens, we know where to go in the scriptures to say, as Peter did, this is that. Now, the other thing that's happened to us is we've started these In Spirit and Truth services on the first Sunday at 11 o'clock. And the reason for doing that, again, is not that we think it's a good idea, but it's because we really believe this is something that God wants us to do. It was through our friend Steve and Sam actually volunteering to come here once a month. And it's a big ask on them. But we didn't ask them. They volunteered to come here once a month, 170 miles from Telford, to lead these services. Because they really believed God had put it on their hearts to do this. They've been asked to lead worship in other churches much closer to them. And have actually turned people down. And so I believe that this really is, again, something that God is saying that it's worth doing. And those services are we use those words from John's Gospel again, where Jesus spoke to the woman at the well and said, God is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's the kind of guiding principle for those services, that we want to be led by the Holy Spirit and to worship him in truth, in integrity, in honesty, and to come before him. So can I really encourage you to look out for the things that God does? When God does something, it's almost always surprising. It's not what we expected. It's not the things that we plan to do. I put another piece of scripture there, which you can read at your leisure, from the book of Isaiah, which speaks about how different God's ways of thinking are than ours. Who would have expected him to do what he did on the day of Pentecost? I mean, who would have expected the Messiah to die on a cross and to be risen, to rise from the dead? God does the things that we don't expect. But when he does, we need to be willing to do what Peter did, is to go to the scriptures to understand what he's doing, and then to be willing to respond in obedience and faith. And then we will be able to say again and again, this is that. This is that which God had already spoken about. Amen.